Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Howdy, folks. You know, I'm actually recording this a little bit in advance because I will be signing books down at Buffalo Bill Days in Golden, fourth year. The designated author of that great event and crowd. And Golden, Colorado, it really is terrific. A bunch of great artisans, terrific vendors, you know, Old West reenactments. If you're in the area, come on by. And come down and see us. We're pretty easy to find. It's a corner booth. My signing booth is a corner booth, kind of up toward the food stuff, which makes it very convenient, by the way, for chowing down all that great artery-hardening fair food. But anyway, it really is a good event. So, hope to see you. Since I'm recording this early, I'm not going to be up on Friday's events. This is actually being recorded very early Friday morning. So who knows what might happen here in the 24 hours, give or take, between now and when this show is posted by the AM stations. So you'll have to forgive me if I miss anything, any of the latest lies on the political circuit, or, regrettably, one of the latest terror attacks. You know, there have been more than 10 now in 30 days. Seven, in fact, as of yesterday, because there was another bombing in the Mideast. There's now been 8 in like 9 days around the world. And it's been, I think, 5 of them in Europe. Let's see, machetes, axes, knives, guns, bombs, and a semi-truck running over people in Nice, France. 84 folks dying there, more than 100 injured, and some of them may not make it. Yet we have the image of a Democratic convention with Leon Panetta speaking, talking about the threats to our civilization, our way of life, and in fact our lives from ISIS and other terror groups and how they must be defeated, and we see a convention erupt into chants of no more war. You know, that kind of tells you all you need to know about the so-called Democratic Party. Let's make that the Progressive Party, shall we? It tells you all you need to know. These people weren't even courteous enough to let the former Secretary of Defense under Obama, no less. They were not even courteous enough to let him speak. Now, you know, just unbelievable. Do these people really think? Remember Loretta Lynch here, what was it, 2 weeks ago? She said, oh, you know, we just need more love. Well, I'll tell you what, Loretta, why don't you go over to Raqqa, Syria? Why don't you find ISIS headquarters, and why don't you walk in there and give them a big hug? That would be great. I'd kind of like that. Maybe you can single-handedly stop all this thing, or maybe we'd need a new attorney general. I don't know. Either way, I guess we win. What I'm trying to say, folks, is if you have watched the Democratic National Convention, you have been witness to a party which is no longer your mom and dad's Democratic Party. It is from left to far left. There is nothing even in the middle about this party anymore. Hillary Clinton and her little email deal with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You know, the unbelievable aspect of Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Hillary Clinton lying during the campaign about whether or not the DNC was on the side of Hillary or Bernie and actively participating in trying to undermine Bernie. I mean, we all kind of knew that, right? Hillary Clinton lies like a rug. There's nothing she doesn't lie about. Kind of like Barack Obama. You can keep your doctor, $2,500, you know. And he stood up, you know, great speech. Beautifully delivered. All a big fat lie, right? Everything is rosy, guys. There's no problems in this country. No problems. You know, if you can't name a problem, you can't fix a problem. On the other hand, of course, they call Trump's speech dark because he does name the problems. Now, maybe his speech was darker than it needed to be. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I thought it was a great speech myself. And I thought Barack Obama's was a great speech. The only problem is since we know that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, because of who they are, because of who they believe, and because they are disciples of Saul Alinsky. Remember, Hillary Clinton wrote a thesis on Saul Alinsky while in college. Saul Alinsky promotes means to an end. And he promotes in his books, Handbook for Radicals, I've asked you folks to read it, Know the Enemy. In his book, Handbook for Radicals, he promotes lying to achieve your end. And both of these people are disciples. One of them wrote a thesis on him. She was so enamored with his thoughts, viewpoints, and outlooks. So, listen, there's been loads of talk about the conventions and the politics. I just wanted to get my two cents out. I have a friend who has two millennial daughters. And the millennial daughters, one, is going to be voting for Hillary because she's very kind of scientific. She thinks that Trump only satisfies 36% of what she believes, and Hillary satisfies 66%. And therefore, and I'm serious, I actually saw the texts, and therefore 56% more of what she wants or believes is going to be satisfied by Hillary. And my response to her was, since we know Hillary lies about everything, how can you be certain of that 56% more than Trump? Her response was, well, Trump lies too. I said, well, you know, let's assume that to be true. Bottom line is, you can't be sure that Hillary is going to do anything she says. She will do anything to get elected. We're going to be talking today about a number of things. Okay, and it's not going to be about these conventions and the politics, because you can hear that yada, 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 24-7 from left outfits and right outfits and middle-of-the-road outfits and, you know, all the talking heads and blah, 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 blah. So you don't need that from me. We're going to be talking today, after I've now expounded on my thoughts and how absolutely not only disgusting but petrifying is the Democratic National Convention. Because, I mean, this is... I mean, these people are in the friggin' ozone. Ozone. And unfortunately, their disregard for reality is making us all unsafe. But we're going to be talking today about all the things that are going on. Remember, progressives are really great at kind of waving a flag to catch your attention, and their other hand is doing something else. And all the attention of the country, and a lot of the world, has been focused on the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention over the last 10 days. But in the meantime, true to form, the progressives have been going full tilt under the radar screens, not followed by the press, hardly known to anyone, full tilt in a number of directions, all of which are detrimental to your health, your welfare, your safety, and your pocketbook, not to mention the values of the United States. That's what we're going to review today. We're going to talk a little bit about the ACLJ, Jay Sekulow, whom you ought to support. There's an article, in fact, under Scandal today. You should pull that up. It was written by Jay Sekulow, and he asked for a contribution. You know what? You should contribute. $10, $20, $25, whatever. And if you happen to be for one candidate or the other, I'm not telling you to vote for, you should contribute to them too. Be active. Participate. folks. This is your country. This is your life, as a matter of fact. Then we had, as further distraction, of course, the Democrats running around saying that the Russians have hacked our stuff, blah, blah, blah. The Russians have hacked everything. And, you know, for the Democrats to run around and say the Russians hacked the DNC, but the Russians didn't hack Hillary's server in her bathroom is really remarkable. I don't know who came up with that line, but that political strategist at the DNC ought to be fired. You know, what you heard at the Democratic National Convention about gun control, we're going to talk about, because these guys are on it, folks. If you think that owning guns, buying guns, getting ammunition, or anything to do with the ability to defend yourself, your country, and your values, as the founders envisioned, will be the same if Hillary Clinton is elected, you are sadly mistaken. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about immigration, because there's some things going on with immigration, which, once again, they're using the distraction to divert you from. And we're going to talk about climate change, which is a huge theme, of course, at the Democratic National Convention, because climate change, since they've taken over the schools, all these kids, like these millennials that we're talking about, have been indoctrinated into, you know, by the time they're 65, there won't be a planet and they're all going to die. I mean, seriously, that's what they think. They do. And my son and my daughter, who are really quite conservative, I mean, quite conservative, and I'm proud of that. My son particularly believes in this climate change stuff. I mean, that's what he heard in school. That's what he heard in college. And, I mean, it won't sway his vote because of all the other factors. But he truly believes, you know, climate change is here and it's mostly man-caused and the whole, I mean, he and I argue about it all the time. And you heard this, this is how they keep the millennial vote. You know, and the millennial vote, the progressives do things, they think way ahead, unlike conservatives. And they do things to ensure the growth of their power. The nudge factor, as Cass Sunstein called it. I've talked about it many times on this show. You inch it along one little piece at a time, nobody notices, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's done. And nobody can do anything about it. Kind of like Obamacare, you know? You nudge it through, you defer all the bad stuff, you let that kind of seep in, people get kind of used to it, then all of a sudden, boom, you're stuck. And it's going to be the same thing with guns, folks. And it's going to be the same thing with fossil fuels. And it's going to be the same thing with climate change. And the other thing we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking a little bit about what's really happening with, shall we say, civilizational jihad. I mean, there's some things I'm going to tell you today which will shock you that the press isn't covering that are happening kind of as we're speaking here. And we're going to talk about a really big international development, and that is Turkey and Russia, the alliance that's beginning to form quite rapidly between those two countries and what it means for United States interests. Once again, yet another foreign policy failure by Obama and Clinton. So, we're going to get started. I have some other things to cover with you, too. I'm not sure we're going to have time. I'm going to rock and roll here. By the way, did you notice, as an aside, that all the Western democracies, the globalists, the elites that run the Western countries, the United States, just about all of them, thank God for Britain, they now have a conservative prime minister again who's going to start to put that country back together and stop the immigration. But in Germany, there have been 5 attacks. There might be one today, you know, after I do this show 24 hours in advance. 5 attacks in Germany. I'm talking about in the last 10 days. There was an attack on a train with an axe. There was a machete deal. There was the gunman in front of McDonald's at a mall. And all these people, all these perpetrators, every one of them is Muslim. Every one of them has an Arabic name. Every one of them randomly picked their victims. Every one of them also targeted children where they could. There was two instances, I think it was just adults, because there were no children, like, on the train. And yet the German government, the German police, and Angela Merkel, who's allowed a million refugees into this country. Oh, yes, by the way, four of the five, one was, had immigrated a long time ago. Four of the five were in the refugee class, i.e., had recently come to Western Europe and Germany. Remember, Hillary would like to increase the flow into our country by 550% of these folks. And the German government is trying to pull the hood over the eyes of their people, just like this government's pulling the hood over the eyes of us, by saying they were mentally unstable, they were this, they were that, you know. They lost their teddy bear and therefore had nothing to do with ideology, nothing to do with the Muslim religion. You know, they're very hush-hush about the background, the motives, the whole nine yards. So it is not just in America that the elites, who unfortunately are in power because we were asleep at the switch, are pulling the wool over people's eyes. This is a concerted conspiracy, folks, and it's worldwide through the New World Order folks, the globalists, the folks who don't believe in borders, believe in kumbaya, and believe in one world government where everybody is equal, i.e. mediocre, and we all ride bicycles. And they mean it. And of course, they're at the top riding around their jets. I mean, let's not forget that. Anyway, on the ACLJ article, Jay Sekulow, these guys are warriors. They are warriors for American values. They are warriors for you and me. And indeed, they're warriors for people who don't even agree with them. So they are in the process of starting. By the way, Secretary, did you know that Kerry, our pathetic, pathetic, pathetic Secretary of State, actually said in a speech this last week, and I'm not making this up, that refrigerators and air conditioners are a bigger threat than ISIS. He actually said that. Yes. It goes back to, you know, the world's going to end in 60 years unless you vote Democratic, millennials. So, you know, from now on, whenever I go in my kitchen, I am wearing body armor because I don't want my refrigerator getting me. I'll take care of that. Thanks for that tip, John. Anyway, Jay Sekulow is going to be launching four big lawsuits here on various matters. I'll let the article kind of talk about it. They're mostly seeking information the administration and other departments are trying to hide on some key issues. Immigration, the Iran lie. I mean, I don't know. This was kind of buried by the news. So did you know that a new secret letter agreement, which of course was denied to ever have existed, between the Obama administration and Iran has surfaced? And in fact, they can build a bomb based on this agreement in one half the time that Obama and all his lying mucky mucks told Congress. One half the time. So instead of 1 year, it now will only take 6 months for Iran to develop a bomb. Now, you don't think that's intentional, folks? You don't think there's some other motive behind that? Really? And what's also surfaced is that, of course, the $150 billion, give or take, that we gave them, they are investing in nuclear technology and in consorting with North Korea for the means of delivering that nuclear technology. I mean, this whole thing is just a farce. And at the Democratic Convention, of course, you heard about how they had stopped the nuclear proliferation of Iran. I mean, wow. I am telling you, there is an unholy alliance. I have said this. You can type it in the search bar on this show and listen to that show. It was, I think, a pretty good one. And I gave you a lot of facts that back up this alliance. You know, like Merkel hiding that it's Muslim terrorism. You know, radical Islamic jihad that's perpetrated these attacks in her country from refugees, which she's allowed in the country. Like Obama calling Fort Hood workplace violence. I mean, I can go down the list. You've heard it all before. But there is an alliance, folks. You don't give a mortal enemy who believes in none of the values you do, who chants for the death of you and your greatest ally, Israel, you don't give them $150 billion and do secret agreements which have the time in which they could develop a nuclear bomb and then allow them to consort with no repercussions whatsoever with North Korea in intercontinental ballistic missile technology unless you want to do that, unless you want some type of end result. So I suggest you send $20 to Jay. They do great stuff. Many of the things that we have learned about over the last several years we would have never known without the work of the ACLJ. Never. Not in a million years. I'm going to read you something real quick. This is on the immigration to the EU, which has also been, you know, swept under the convention rugs, so to speak, you know, or by the press, I might add. This is by a guy by the name of Jeremy Grantham, who he's kind of an expert. I mean, a lot of people don't like him, but he's an expert in immigration, cause and effect. And he wrote a little piece. I'm just gonna read you a couple of excerpts on the immigration into the EU from the Middle East. Remember, an immigration caused by Obama's policies. Remember, Hillary and Obama have killed 500,000 people in the Middle East with their policies. And they have created, while they stand up there on the dais and tell us how great things are and how safe it is, how less violent the world is now than ever before, they forget to mention there's 60 million refugees on the move in North Africa and the Middle East, and it's all because of their policies, and those people are filtering into Europe, and they want to filter them into the United States. Sure, they started off with 10,000 Syrian refugees with the hue and the cry, and then Hillary talks about increasing it to 55,000. You wait and see what they really want to do. They want as many of those folks in this country as possible to dilute. Remember, this is about transformation. If you really want to transform a society, I've said this before, you change their language, their culture, their values. And the way you do that is immigration. The way you change red districts and congressional districts and states to blue is immigration. You've seen it in Colorado. You're seeing it in Arizona. You're seeing it in certain districts in Texas. This is a concerted and rather brilliant, though darkly diabolical, plan to basically take over this government using immigration to change the electorate. It's an importation of a new electorate by the millions, folks. And it is on purpose, and it is without regard to the safety of America, Americans, you, me, or our families. It is absolutely black and white. Let me read you what Jeremy Grantham wrote. This is about the EU. The truth about immigration to the EU, in my view, is bitter. As covered in earlier quarterlies, I believe Africa and parts of the Near East are beginning to fail as civilized states. They are failing under the pressure of populations that have multiplied by 5 to 10 times since I was born. Climate for growing food that is deteriorating at an accelerating rate. Degraded soils, insufficient unpolluted water, bad governance, and lack of infrastructure. Country after country is tilting into rolling failure. This is producing in these failing states, I would throw in there civil war, strife, American policy, and a host of other factors. This is producing in these failing states increasing numbers of desperate people, mainly young men, willing to risk money and their lives in an attempt an entry into the EU, that's the European Union. For the best example of the non-compute intractability of this problem, consider just Nigeria. It had 21 million people when I was born, and now has 187 million. In a recent poll, 40% of Nigerians, 75 million, said they would like to immigrate, mostly to the UK, which has a population of 64 million. Difficult. But the official UN estimate for Nigeria's population in 2100 is over 800 million. They still have a fertility rate of 6 children per woman. Without discussing the likelihood of ever reaching 800 million, I suspect you will understand the problem at hand. It is impossible. I wrote 2 years ago that this immigration pressure would stress Europe and that the first victim would be Western Europe's liberal traditions. Well, this is happening in real time, as they say, far faster than I expected. It will only get worse as hundreds of thousands of refugees become millions. All right. Does that give you kind of an idea of stats and figures? And, of course, that doesn't count the millions on the march from Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, all of which, by the way, all those poor people experienced terror attacks in the last week, which were, like, barely mentioned in the press. You know, men, women, and children. Women and children being targeted in bombs and market blasts, etc. It's just, and every one of those, folks, every one of those is blood on the hands of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Because there shouldn't be an ISIS. It shouldn't exist. And there shouldn't be the threat of an Iranian nuclear bomb. It shouldn't exist. And when all that comes to fruition, there's going to be the blood of millions, maybe tens of millions, on the hands of those two people and their minions. And I'm not so sure it's not on purpose by them. But I am sure they don't care one way or the other. So the next thing we want to cover is gun control. Because the Democrats, they were all about gun control at their convention. They really think that they have a winning deal. And you know, because people are, excuse this, stupid, they just might. The way they're going to do it, remember the nudge factor? You move an inch at a time till people don't know. They're using the terror list. In other words, if you're on the terror list, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun. Now, who put you on the terror list, folks? The government. And this is the same government that 2 years after coming into power, you can go back, I've posted a bunch of articles on this. In 2009, a year after coming into power, Barack Obama personally ordered DHS to scrub more than 1,000 names from the terror list. And this is not Americans. These are known terrorists that were identified in the Bush administration from the Mideast who had been active in terror and were being tracked by the FBI and CIA. He ordered their names scrubbed and all their information deleted. Kind of like Hillary's emails, I guess. Now, this is the same guy, the same outfit, who now says that if you're on a terror watch list, you shouldn't be able to buy a rifle. You know, I don't disagree with terrorists not being able to buy guns. But I think comparing their acts and lack of acts to their rhetoric, it's very clear that this is just a wedge. Because they can then use a terror list to put on anybody they want. Obviously, they can take off anybody they want, including real terrorists. So I guess they could put Reed on the terror watch list. And then Reed couldn't buy ammunition or guns. Or they could put John or Jill or Sally or Betty, whoever's listening to this show. How nice is that? So you are being judged subjectively by a government who wants to disarm you to be put on a list which allows them to disarm you. Think about that. Now, obviously, there's an intelligent way to approach this, But understand that the Republicans are pathetic, and the Democrats are lying thieves of your rights and values. So those people, I just don't think are going to come up with the right solution. But I do want to tell you that, and you heard gun control, gun control, gun control at the Democratic National Convention. And there's a reason. That's because polls are showing that 90% of folks, 75% of NRA members, are favoring some type of action where if you're on a terror watch list or you're on the no-fly list, then you can't buy a gun. Or you have to turn in your guns. Or who knows how this is going to boil down. And the Democrats are seizing on this as an election deal. And it's very dangerous, folks. It's the nose under the camel's tent. Because remember, this camel doesn't care about whether or not you're a terrorist. They care about taking away your guns because they care about more power, control, and your ability to contest it. Understand what the real deal is here. I'm going to tell you, and if you don't think that the Democrats now think that this is a winning thing, let me give you some information. Mike Thompson, he's representative from, he's a Democrat in California. He's a gun owner. He heads the Democrats' Gun Violence Prevention Task Force, blah, blah, blah. Quote, "This is the first presidential nominee in my lifetime that came out talking about responsible gun laws. That's huge in itself." The Democrats rejoiced after enacting an assault weapons ban under President Clinton in 1994. But then a year later, they got trounced in the polls. And they've been wary about gun control ever since. Al Gore probably lost the election in 2000 because he was jumping up and down about gun control, or maybe just because he's a moron, which he is. Quote, "The anti-gun violence movement had basically been asleep in this country for about 20 years. This, by the way, is a guy by the name of Murphy, another Democrat. But almost overnight, this issue now is, guess what, a political winner at the polls." Now, let's just think about this for a moment. If you're Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or any of those progressive elites, and your goal is to disarm the American public, do you think you really care about some terror attacks in which some Americans die that you can use to disarm the American public? Because in your mind, that's the greater good, isn't it? And, you know, to ensure there's terror attacks, what do you have to do? You have to make sure there's terrorists in the country. Gee, maybe this ties into the Syrian, whatever. You can think about that on your own. I kind of find the dots connected. All right, so anyway, there's been these polls, 90%, blah, 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 75% NRA. Elizabeth Esty, she's Democrat at Connecticut. "For a long time, people have been afraid of the gun lobby. We're changing that this year." Let me give you and then, of course, Bloomberg stood up there. I mean, calling himself a Republican. This is the guy who wants to tell you how big a cup of soda you can have. Somehow, I just don't think that that's a conservative value. So Bloomberg, even though he's a Republican, he runs on the Republican ticket, I think just to get elected, because if he ran on the Democratic ticket, he'd lose in the primaries. Bloomberg is totally anti-gun, totally. And he ranted and raved up there on the stage about it. But I'm telling you, folks, there is more danger to the Second Amendment. There's more danger to the guns in your closet, the guns you'd like to buy, the passing on of that Second Amendment tradition to your kids, the ability to even get ammo, than there has ever been since the founding of the Republic. And you better wake up. Okay, Tim Kaine, the vice presidential pick, he is a powerful advocate for gun control when he was governor of Virginia in 2007. Okay, and that was, he used the Virginia Tech massacre for that, which, by the way, was not Muslim extremism. Okay, Bloomberg, by the way, is going to spend millions of his own money to promote taking guns away from you and making sure you can't buy them. Quote, Representative Gabrielle Giffords, you know her name. She was unfortunately attacked by that moron down there in Arizona. Tim Kaine is someone who has put gun violence prevention front and center. Let me give you some more quotes here, because they're all kind of remarkable. John Larson, Democrat of Connecticut, said that the sit-in, remember where the Democrats kind of sat in and shut down the House of Representatives there a couple weeks ago? And this will tell you how these guys think. John Larson, because everybody had been saying, oh, this is because we're so concerned about guns and violence and your safety. John Larson actually kind of lifted the veil. He organized the sit-in. He was one of the organizers and said, quote, the tactic was devised with November in mind, unquote. We had the sit-in so we would be able to define this issue and the difference between the two parties, Larson said. If you want to vote to win the election, and we're here to win an election. So, that tells you how concerned they are about the guns, folks. Katie McGinty, she's a Democrat, and she's challenging Pat Toomey for a Senate seat in Pennsylvania. She's hammering Toomey on him opposing legislation to barring gun sales to those in the FBI terrorist list. Once again, you know. The Republicans are morons. They just can't communicate anything. How about coming up with the criteria to be on the terror watch list and then agreeing that if you're on a terror watch list because you've been placed on the list based on this objective criteria, not some subjective nonsense by a government intent on getting you on a list so they can take your guns. I mean, how hard is this? Wow. Those people are the party of Mitt Romney, and I've lost all respect for Mitt Romney. Ted Strickland, he's the Democrat who's squaring off against Rob Portman in Ohio. And he thinks, quote, Clinton's embrace of tougher laws will only help him in the campaign, unquote. I'm pushing hard myself. This is Strickland talking. There's now an increased awareness and sensitivity that gun violence is becoming so pervasive that people want something done about it. So once again, they're now calling gun violence, they're not calling terrorism gun violence. Never mind that I think, let's see, how many of the attacks here in the last 10 days have been with axes, knives, machetes, bombs, or trucks? Anyway. I think you get the view on that. And by the way, some of the states, because these progressives have rigged the courts, and because the Supreme Court is up for grabs, and because Scalia was murdered, he was assassinated. I'm convinced of that, folks. If you didn't listen to my show, I put all the dots together for you. You can just type in death of Scalia or, Scalia assassination or Scalia, and it'll come up. It was just, I believe it was mid-February. I think the poor guy died in February. And he, of course, was the linchpin of the pro-Second Amendment justices. So the court is now split. One justice will tip the balance. And what's happening is that these blue states and blue Democrats, progressive Democrats in various states are beginning to pass laws unilaterally. Forget the legislature. I mean, they're just passing stuff. And they know it'll be challenged in court. And they're hoping that the Supreme Court will have an entirely different complexion because Hillary Clinton will win. And when these court cases go up there, they will be upheld. I want you to know there was actually a case in Highland Park, Illinois, this will shock you, where a federal judge, appointed, of course, by Obama, a federal judge ruled that a restriction on firearms going outside of your home whatsoever in Highland Park, Illinois, was valid, and in his order, I'm not making this up, in his order, he agreed that it had no practical effect. It might even increase the crime rate. This is in his order. However, and I'm paraphrasing, because it made the citizens of Highland Park feel safer, therefore it was a valid rule. In other words, this judge admits that in practicality it did just the opposite, but because it made people feel safer, the law was valid and just. Unbelievable. This is just in the last month. Once again, overshadowed, well, purposely overshadowed by the conventions, etc. I want you to know that the Attorney General of Massachusetts, okay, and this was just, I mean, literally, this was just last week, completely overshadowed on purpose. I think she chose this time period, in fact, completely overshadowed. She unilaterally, this is without going to the legislature, banned hundreds of firearms. She banned firearms that are what she calls assault rifles with a number of quote-unquote features, adjustable stocks, pistol grips, threaded barrels, stuff like that. Well, the Attorney General of Massachusetts, while admitting that removing these so-called features is nothing but, and I quote her, small tweaks that do nothing to limit the lethalness of the weapon, unquote. After admitting that, this Attorney General has issued an order essentially banning all semi-automatic rifles in the state of Massachusetts. I quote from this article, when asked what she was going to do with all those who owned previously legal rifles, the AG responded that she has no immediate plan to confiscate them, obviously leaving the door open. Well, folks, you know, by the way, yeah, my producer's nodding at me here. Look, let me give you a quote, because it's so unbelievable. Let me give you the quote from that federal judge in Illinois. I was telling you about that unbelievable ruling. This is right out of his order. Quote, if it has no other effect, Highland Park's ordinance may increase the public's sense of safety. Does that kind of give you a clue? So you're going to see all this stuff coming to pass in the hopes that Hillary Clinton's going to be elected and they're going to going to be a Supreme Court that's actually going to uphold this crap. I'm warning you, you better get on the stick. Those of you who don't think you ought to vote, you better rethink it. You want to own your weapons? You want to exercise your right as Americans to the Second Amendment? You want to protect your country, your family, yourself, your property? I suggest you kind of get over whatever sniff you have. And you cast a vote that counts, which means for Trump, to make sure that Hillary Clinton does not appoint Supreme Court judges who are going to be ruling on this nonsense. And this is just the beginnings of it, folks. They're just getting started. Who's going to be ruling on this nonsense, like these orders out of Highland Park, Illinois, and this unbelievable unilateral edict by the Attorney General, not even the legislator, not even the governor of Massachusetts, that semi-automatic rifles are now banned. I want you to know that California has passed an ordinance. I'm going to have more on this next week because it's, not, once again, unbelievable, but it's all part of this concerted effort by the progressives to put out all these rules and regulations and hope there's a Supreme Court that will uphold them. I mean, they're doing stuff to, they know they're going to get sued, they want to get sued, and they're hoping that the lawsuit makes it to the Supreme Court with justices appointed by lying Hillary. Okay? Just, that's what they're doing. Period. And there's only one way to ensure that they're not going to do that, and that's to make sure Hillary doesn't get elected. Does everybody get this? You lingering Cruz supporters, you never Trumpers, you I'm gonna stay home and not vote folks. I mean, while you have a right to do anything you want, I'm going to be very annoyed with you because you're going to affect my rights. You're going to affect my values. You're going to affect my safety. So if you don't vote for you, vote for your fellow Americans, will you? You know, the Bushes, one of the Marvin Bush, the younger brother of Jeb and etc., he endorsed the Libertarian. Well, you know what? I still like George Bush, although I'm disappointed in him. Jeb Bush is like, you know, like Mitt Romney. Ted Cruz, I've never liked, and I completely dislike. All these people are just unbelievable. They are putting their elite status, their pious and wrong self-views, ahead of the people that they profess and the country that they profess to love. Absolutely despicable. All right. This is the last thing I'm going to cover today, folks. No, actually, next week I'm going to be covering more of this gun control stuff, including California. I got waylaid there by my own thoughts. California has passed an ordinance, I am not kidding you, that says you can now only own a firearm, which, after initially running out of ammunition, must be taken apart to reload. I know you're looking at your radios, or you're looking at your, if you're listening to the podcast on the internet, you're looking at your computer and you're shaking your head going, Reed's flipped his lid. I'm telling you, that law is passed. And it's been signed into law by Jerry Brown, another progressive scumbag. We're going to talk about that next week, because all of these are frightening. That one is petrifying. Okay. And next week we're going to talk about nuclear jihad. The threat of nuclear jihad right here in the country using our own nuclear reactors. And we're going to talk a little bit about how successful the civilizational jihad has been, down to the point, by the way, where Tyson Foods in Shelbyville, Tennessee, this is Tyson Foods, this is a big outfit. Tyson Food has eliminated the celebration of and the day off for Labor Day, and instead is giving a day off and is celebrating a Muslim holiday. They only have, by the way, 700 Muslim employees of thousands and thousands and thousands. So, instead of a paid holiday off for Labor Day, they now, Tyson employees, all of them, get a paid day off on the last day of Ramadan. By the way, for those of you who don't know, remember, immigration is the tool of transformation. Tennessee is the newest hotbed of immigration for Muslim immigration, or newest hotbed for Muslim immigration. There are more Muslims moving to Tennessee than any other state. Okay? Previously it was Minnesota, then it was Michigan, now it's Tennessee. So one of the ways you can kind of get your voice known is I've stopped buying anything and everything Tyson. And you can do the same thing. If you see a Tyson label, don't buy it. Maybe they'll reinstitute the American holiday of Labor Day. Okay. We have, and the other thing I think I'm going to do, because I'm not going to have time to talk about today, I'm going to talk about the Climate Change Accord and what Obama's doing to rush it through the United Nations, now with a whole bunch of countries dropping out. Philippines just dropped out. There's a number of others. And Obama's beginning to panic that he's not going to get this thing signed. Remember, we've already sent him billions of dollars. Remember that it was designed, and the French admitted it. I'll talk about it next week. And the French admit it was designed to circumvent Congress because the Constitution requires a two-thirds vote on any treaty. And now it's in trouble at the UN. Because the more countries look at this, the more they realize, you know, they're giving up their sovereignty, which, of course, is something Obama would like to do. for the United States. So the last thing we're going to talk about today, folks, before I wrap up, is this very worrisome rapidly developing alliance between Turkey and Russia. It's both diplomatic, it could be military, it has to do with Syria, and it has to do with Obama and Hillary Clinton. So Erdogan, he's the president. I've talked about this in several shows. We talked about the coup several weeks ago, and etc. He's used that coup, as everybody supposed, to consolidate his power. And he is an Islamist. Turkey is a member of NATO. And Turkey is kind of the gateway between the East and the West. That's the best way you could describe Turkey, and occupies a very strategic position, geographically speaking, geopolitically speaking, in the Mideast. For decades, Turkey has wanted to forge closer ties with the West. However, since Erdogan took power, he's been removing all those people from the government, the military, and the judiciary. And this failed coup has now given him complete latitude. He's arrested tens of thousands of people. I mean, he is doing a complete purge of anybody standing in his way toward moving Turkey toward an Islamist and East-facing state rather than a democratic, secular, West-facing state. And one of the things he's wanted to do since day one is get rid of Assad. And the falling out between America and Turkey happened when Obama reneged on his red line in the sand. That's when Erdogan lost respect for Obama. That's when he began talking with the Russians. And now it's rumored that the Russians and Turkey are close to a deal. Remember, Russia doesn't care about Assad. They care about their military bases. Russia and Turkey are close to a deal where the Russians will actually knock out Assad, number one. And then number two, we'll get increased military access in Turkey. In the meantime, Turkey has cut off all flights out of our air base in Turkey to fight ISIS. This is really worrisome. This is a huge deal, folks. Huge. And we're going to be tracking it for you. Because it could change the balance of military, strategic, political, and economic dominoes. Not only right there in the Turkey area, but around the world. Anyway, I'm going to go down to the golden days and have some fun, and talk to my readers and sign some books, and get chubby on artery-corroding fair food, and I hope to see you down there. Have a great week. Think about what we've talked about today, because it's scary. And get involved, folks. Write a check to your candidate or their campaigns. Write a check to Jay Sekulow from the ACLJ. Again, his article is in the scandal section below. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.